Heavenly Father, God, Lord, we thank you, God. I pray to God, Lord, that you, Lord, let our eyes be open to God and our ears to hear, God. And just pray to God, Lord, that you just, Lord, cause us to, God, step into, Lord, all that you have for us and not resist your call, not resist what you have for us, to God, Lord, but walk in the fullness of it, God. Not in part of it, not in a piece of it, but all of it, God. Lord, we give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. All right, that was an amen, right? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, Lord. Are you okay? Hey, thank you, Austin. Amen. Listen, I really need to know that God's really speaking to my heart about, and I'm just going to be honest with you tonight, you know, there's been this dissatisfying feeling within me about church. I love church. You know that. That's why I stepped back into it after I was hurt from the institution. But my love, the Father's love for the church has drawn me into it that I couldn't stop. It's His bride. It's His people. It's His heart. Amen? Come on. Amen. And the way that God is going to do things, it's through His church. Amen. It's through His body. But the church has missed it. We've operated in parts and pieces of what God has said and what we think works for us. And we've built buildings on them and established such institutions. And I want you to see, though, but we're living right now in Pennsylvania, the greatest uncover of scandal in the church, and was in Roman Catholic Church with the abuse of children. And it was uncovered. I want you to know that I really believe there's an uncovering taking place in the church. And the Roman Catholic Church was the established of the first church. Come on. And I believe that God says enough's enough, that I want you, we are to represent Him in the earth. And what we think that we know of God's plan for the church, we've always have a heart to do the right thing, but we tend to do what's easy. You know, listen, I want you to know that I know that we can predict, and sometimes we got to stick with something until we work out of what God has for us. We can't just give up what we have and walk out of it. But I believe that sometimes you could predict, okay, it's 6:45, we're going to be beginning to preach the Word on Wednesday nights, or Saturday night at 7:10, and we're going to go to preach the Word. We just sang so many songs, and we sit down, and we, you know, I don't know about you, but I know that sometimes that could be some satisfaction to some people. But I want you to know there's something more than just a routine of church, that God has a plan, and He has a pattern, amen? And the problem is we've kind of not looked at the pattern. We've built upon what we think's right, and the church has done that. We can go through church history and see how that we could see how the church has kind of got off stray and off plans. But I want you to know the first part of understanding God's Word. But before I get into that, I've been on a nonstop binge of Apostle Valentine. I've listened to over 10 tapes, 16, 17 hours of Word continually. And I'm flooded with it because it has really... See, I want you to know that He hasn't pushed an agenda of how He thinks we should run our church, but He's given us the Word of God. And that is what's quickened to me. It's not like, no, you're doing your church wrong or anything like that. I began to listen to some of His tapes on the pattern of God for the church, and it has blown me away. It has caused my thinking to change. And it has stirred something even in my heart to realize this shouldn't be as hard as it is sometimes. It shouldn't be as hard, especially for pastors. It really shouldn't be, because it's not meant for one man. No, one man cannot build a church or establish a church or do it all with one man. But I want you to know that that's what we've looked to do. The church has done that, where that you have your apostles, your bishops, your this or that, and they have this many churches and this. Technically, that's not even biblical. But what's biblical is the church raising up people mature, that we raise up together, that we pastor together and we work together. Yes, you have ones that are gifted in different administration and different areas of the church. Amen. And you honor each one of them. But there's a place where you submit one to another. You know, that's the problem. And I want you to know that sometimes you stop and you look at a church and you're saying to yourself, boy, that's a lot of work, man. How are churches? You know, you look all through the Bible, Ephesia, Ephesus, and all these different churches. The church of Ephesus. It wasn't the 10 churches of Ephesus. It was the church of that city. See, I want you to know, see, that's the difference, where that they came together with one vision, one body, one purpose, one plan, for one agenda. It wasn't 100 churches having 100 different agendas and different plans of salvation or the way the church... No. It's coming under the Word of God, following it together, submitting one to another. You think, boy, that looks impossible. That might be 100 years from now. I want you to know what God can do when you get some people together that submit one to another. It can spread like wildfire. Come on, it's done it with His disciples. It did it with the disciples. And that's what Apostle Valentine was declaring for us to understand, that discipleship is so key, that we submit one to another. Amen? That we submit ourselves to them. And listen, I want you to know that I am going to be on a conference call tomorrow. Face to face, across the nation, you know what I mean? Taking tests. He told me he's gonna kind of school me, you know, and that's okay, because I'm not here just to go through the motions. Come on, I'm not here for that. I want to see the purposes of God fulfilled. I want to see His heart fulfilled. You know, I want you to know that we need to be like David. David had a heart after the Father. See, I want you to know that we could fit into any agenda, like any plan. Oh, this works for us as a church, and you know, but yet it's not God's, then it's wrong. The Bible says, unless God builds the house, you build it in vain. I don't want to build in vain. I want what we do to last. Come on, amen. I want what we do to last, amen, to be strong and to last. David was at a place where that he was standing in the same situation that we're in, that everything was built a certain way. And here's David, that God had a plan. It was different than what everybody else. It was different than Saul's plan. Because Saul said this to David. He said, David, put this armor on, because it works. And David says, no. It doesn't fit. It's not right. And it's not what God's speaking to my heart. It's not the way that God's going. See, I want you to know that David didn't try to fit into that. That it was uncomfortable. That's what the church has done. We've just submitted. We just go ahead and fit into something that we think works for us, and we walk around. But it'll never defeat the giants. It'll look good. It'll have all its thing. It's big. Come on, amen. The church looks big. It looks like it can do everything, all this stuff. But yet it'll never destroy the giants. It'll never take down the giants that are in the land. The things that people are real, that really fight with, that really battle with. Things that are really hurting, that are breaking people. Come on, amen. But that's what God wants us to see, to understand that it's got to be His agenda, His plan, His will. Father, what is Your will? He doesn't push it, but I want you to know the only way, and this is why that God began to speak to my heart Saturday about declaring to us that we need to make altars. Because the only way that this can happen is if we begin to build altars, that we set Him on a platform to say, God, I'm not moving without Your agenda. I'm not moving without Your will. Jesus showed us the protocol of the Father. This is how you do it. Whether you set your heart, this is the will. I will not move without You, Father. Hallelujah. I need Your will. I need Your purpose. I need Your plan on every area in this church. We need to move with that. Amen? I want you to know that it's working, and there's different places that's working. Apostle Valentine was sharing me with different things that he's seeing taking place in the church, and it has outcast him in some places. Because there's some ministries and some churches that pastors, bishops that have 100 churches, and you hear a message like this, that it's not about that one man building a whole group of churches, and they've shut him out. Because he's saying that it's more than that. It's about the body of Christ. It's about the body. It's about, there's no difference between the laity. There should never be that. We're a place where that there's difference from the laity to the pastor, where that we should all be in that place, whether we're evangelizing, we're moving in the fivefold ministry. And every one of us might operate in a different place of us, but we're submitting one to another. We're growing and we're growing up, and we're responsible for the church. Come on, amen. We're held accountable to that. I want your hearts to be like my heart, where that, listen to me, I have an accountability to stand right here to have a word for you every single week, to have and to be in, have the heart of God for you, to share with you that when you come in here, that man, Pastor, that man, you're just hitting on what's in my heart. I want you to know that it's not just about me. It shouldn't be. I want it to be a place where that every one of us walk in this place where that with some amazing, I stand up here and all of a sudden someone comes up to me and says to me, hey, God's just burning in my heart. I got to share this here. And it shows. I want you to know that when we walk in with expectation every week, we've built an altar. We've heard from God. That I don't always have to share that. I want you, we're growing to be. I want to be at that place. I want us to grow to that place where that we don't have to do that. Or maybe we just sing one song and just get into the Word. Or we get into the Word and don't sing songs. Or we sing all the songs and whatever it is. People prophesying over one to another, but each one of you come with a word, something prepared in your heart that came from God to say, I've got something to share. That's the heart of God. See, God just doesn't want it to be about one man. Come on, amen. One man. But He wants it to be about the body, where we're responsible for. Do you know the heaviness that I feel of this church? Do you know? I want you to know the heaviness that I feel, the responsibility that I feel for each one of you, that I feel for this church, that we have to move. There's bills to pay. There's things that have to happen. There's things that we need to do. There's things, all this stuff. I feel this weight. I want you to know that I'm not supposed to feel all that weight. As I begin, this has encouraged me, this understanding of this greater depths of it, is because it encouraged me to realize that, man, if it's wearing me out so much, we're doing something wrong. Because it's about us lifting together. Man, now listen, I've lifted up things by myself long enough to know that, man, I've hurt myself. There's pastors all over the place. Listen, I literally feel the compassion for pastors. I had a pastor the other day stand on the bottom of the steps crying to me. He said, I don't know if I could do this another day. We're doing something wrong. We're doing something wrong. And then he falls apart, breaks down, and gives up. And the church says, oh, geez, he didn't have it. Instead of us realizing, oh, my goodness, man, we need to be part of this. We need to see. We need to have that heart for what God has together. We need to be part of this. We need to mentor. We need to disciple together. We need to be discipled that I can disciple. Because if I can't be discipled, I can't disciple. If I can't be in a submissive, submit myself one to another, that we have a heart to do that. And I want you to know, it looks like a far way. I was talking to Pastor Sam about that. And he has that heart. And Pastor Brian, we have that heart. He has that heart too. Where that we have a heart to. And I want to know that God has placed us together because I'm not afraid to submit to them. And they're not afraid to submit to me. Seriously, we're not afraid to submit. And there's something powerful that God will put some people together to begin to build something off of it. Come on, amen? To build something off of it. And we have a heart that in April, I think it's April or... What's after April? May. April and May, we're setting up a conference with Apostle Valentine, two other apostles, where that we're going to come together and talk and build up discipleship in the church. And we're going to get away for 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And we're going to get alone. We're going to go be with God. We're going to have worship. We're going to have food. We're going to be sitting in this one place. And we don't have to do anything. They're going to cook for us. It might not be as good as Renee's, but maybe. We'll see. We'll see. I did say that. It's like, you know, I don't know. I'd rather bring my own refrigerator with me, you know. But I want you to get this and know this. See, there's a heart for it. God's already doing something right now, saying, listen. And God's put it on us. Apostle Valentine says that, man, God has specifically brought me here. And I'm going to tell you in a vision what He told me. I'm going to start a school in this town. He says, I don't know when, I don't know how, I don't know what is going to happen. He said, but I feel that God, not him individually, but he lives in Cape Town. So, I mean, like, he's talking about this, so it can't be, it's got to be people. That's all he's about. And you know what touched me so much? Is this man would grab my hand, he says, I'm here to serve you. Nothing else. I have no agenda. I have no agenda. I don't want nothing from you. If you didn't give me anything for an offering, I wouldn't matter. I would still be back. And every 3 months he calls me, or tells me he's coming through. I said, you're coming here. Period. You're coming here. Because he is who he is. He says that the way he is, his character is real. And it touches my heart beyond, trust me. Because He has an agenda for the heart of the Father. But I just wanted to share with you this protocol on altars. And I just want to give you a glimpse of this. I didn't get a time to do this Saturday. And I wanted just to share this with you. Listen to this. And they came to a place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there. Say he built an altar. Joshua 8:30. Then Joshua built an altar. Say he built an altar. Unto the Lord God of Israel. Exodus 17:15. And Moses built an altar. And called the name of the place Jehovah Nissi. Genesis 35:19-14. And he built an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled the face of his brothers. Genesis 35:15. And Jacob called the name of the place where he built an altar, where God spoke to him, as Bethel. I want you to see here that I can give you, and I began to search that altar. And I can't even get through all of them, of where David and even Saul and all these ones, they built an altar. And it was at that place where God met them. So I want you to see and understand something. There's a protocol the way God does things within a strategic plan. I want you to know that, see, God will share with us and speak to our hearts through people and situations. And you don't have to build an altar. But I want you to know that, see, there's something else, there's something greater, that when you begin to go strategically and you begin to want to go defeat enemies and you want to begin to go and break through things in your life, knock down walls, there has to be a protocol to it. And God doesn't do anything outside of that. But what God will do will release it within the protocol that He has, and that's called altars. Can you say altars? And that's where God will reveal Himself to you, because you have set and you have placed His value. That's what an altar does. It places His value elevated above everything else. And I want you to know that it doesn't come overnight. See, what we do is we begin to, sometimes there's a demand on the people to try to make them get to a place where they need to be, where the pastor is, or where somebody is more mature and the Lord is. But I want you to know that there has to be a place where that we begin, that we set a place, that we put a mark on the ground, or not, you know, We place it and say, this is where I'm meeting God. This is where I'm coming, and I'm setting this moment aside for God. And whether it's in the morning, whether it's in the afternoon, or whatever that is, but I feel in my heart that we really need to do that as a church, because we'll never mature and we'll never extend or go any farther until we do that. Amen? Do we all want to go farther with God? Amen? Do we all? We don't want to just go through the motions, because we'll complain about it, but are we willing to do anything about it? Come on, amen? Are we willing to do anything about it? And I believe that there's an importance. I want you to know, Apostle Valentine does things outside the box. He did a thing where he says that I want to have a disciple meeting. We're going to do it, and we're going to do it at McDonald's. We're going to sit in there and we're going to have our meeting at McDonald's. And he would begin to talk with the disciples, and people would be sitting there and they'd be like, they have got convert after convert, people coming and getting saved and coming to the church, because they're like, wait, there's something that, what is this? What are you guys doing? What is this about? And then they had opportunities. It's outside, taking the church beyond. Amen. That's powerful, where that you begin to see something transcend, go farther. Amen. Where there's people submitting, they're taking their time, saying, well, I'll go to McDonald's. I'll go sit there and have a coffee or a Big Mac, hear about God. Amen. But I believe there's something about that. There's something powerful. So listen, as we talked about that, it's being a platform. It's a pattern that God does have a pattern for us. So let's look. This is where I left off, and I just wanted to share this. This is Mark 1. Hang on one second. Let me see this. 2. Sorry. I love these things, but I hate these things. I'm not really good at it yet. I've had it a year. Listen, this is in, I found it. 3. It's not very obedient. My sweaty hands, I think. Oh, there it is. Okay. Here it is. Okay. Listen, and this is in 3:7. And this is where I talked about yesterday. This is a protocol that God shares with us. And this is in Mark 3:7. It says, "And Jesus withdrew to the sea with his disciples, and a large crowd followed him." But this is where that's what it says in the Amplified. But in the King James, it says he withdrew himself. He withdrew himself. He withdrew himself. He put himself in a position. Amen. I like that where it says that. He says he withdrew himself from others. And I thought that's what we need to do. We need to withdraw ourselves sometimes. We need to get ourselves before God. Amen. Just still trying to find my other scripture I was looking for. Oh yeah. And then here's the other one. This is in Mark 1:35. And it said, "Early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and he left the house and he went out to a secluded place." He went to a place and was praying there. He went to a place, to a certain place. And it says, "And Peter, his companion, searched everywhere looking anxiously for him. And they found him, and they said, 'Everybody's looking for you.' And he replied, 'Let us go on neighboring towns so I may preach there also, that is why I came.'" Listen, this is what I want you to get and see. That Jesus was spending time with the Father, and as soon as they met with him, he said that we are going to go to another town and we're going to minister there. There was strategic downloaded to Jesus where he had this information. The Father said, began to speak to his heart, because he said he did nothing without the will of the Father, without the Father sharing with him, speaking to his heart. So he came to that place. We have to be at a place where we put ourselves in a place where that God can tell us, "Oh, God's not using me," or "God's not doing this or that." Are we putting ourselves at that place where that God can download something? Come on, amen? There's a hurting world out there. God wants us to be mature at a place where our hearts are right, where that we're willing to hear from him, to say, "God, what do you have for me to do today? Lord, is there somebody here? Is there somebody that I can speak to? Is there something, God, Lord? Father, God, Lord, just give me that information. Share with me. Open my heart." And it says, there it is right here. It says that he left that place. He says, "Let us go to the next towns that I may preach there also, for therefore I came forth." This is why I'm here. I want you to know that spending time building altar, spending that time with God, causes you and lets you understand what you're here for. Come on, isn't that what we wonder sometimes? What am I here for? I want you to know that only the Father can reveal your purpose and plan. It can only come from the Father. Amen? It can only come from him. So the only way we can find it is from the Father. And the only way we could do that is by spending time with him. And it says, "So he went through Galilee preaching the gospel in synagogues and casting out demons. And the leper came to him, begging him, falling on his knees before him, saying, 'If you are willing, you are able to make me clean.' And he was moved with compassion." That's the other thing that I talked to altars do. It brings you to a place for compassion. If you're not willing to spend time with God, you do not have his heart. You do not get to that place. You say, "Well, I'm not able to forgive." You spend enough time with God, you will be at a place where you can forgive anything. Trust me, that God will empower you to do that. Come on, amen? He will empower you when you spend that time with the Father. That's what happens, amen? Do you ever notice where people come into church, where people come in, they have a lot of things on them, they come into church, and after a while you begin to see these things, you begin to look at them and like, "Man, there's something different about you." Why do we stop? Keep going. Let God begin to change. Let God begin to transform us. Amen. Let Him begin to change us. We are conformed by the Word of God, but we're transformed by His grace. You put those two things together, His Word and His love, His grace upon you by the Spirit of God, it'll change everything. Conforming to the Word of God, and you'll get transformed by the power of His grace. Conform to the Word of God, and He'll transform you by the power of His grace. Come on, amen. I'm going to say it again. Conform to the Word of God, and it'll transform you by the power of His grace. That's the protocol that God has for us. Amen? So, if you're willing to be able to make me clean, He says, He was moved with compassion for He was suffering. Jesus reached out with His hand, and He touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. And the leprosy left immediately, and he was cleansed, completely healed, restored to health. And Jesus deeply moved. Amen? When was he clean? Immediately. Come on, when was he clean? Immediately. So what happens whenever we spend time with God? I want you to know that the time that we begin to spend with God, instead of things prolonging for so long in time and time, things can happen immediately. Come on, amen? I need things to happen, some things to happen immediately. And it says, but he went out and began to proclaim it freely. So Jesus told him, he says, see that you tell no one anything, but go show yourself to the priest and offer yourself. This was before the cross, and he was doing the rituals of the Mosaic, but there was something overwhelming. That grace that he experienced from Jesus went beyond the protocol of the Old Testament. Come on, amen. He was tasting something that was fresh and new. And he couldn't help but talk about it. He couldn't help expressing what was happening. Even though Jesus told him, don't say nothing. Jesus knew that he would, but he was just going with the protocol of the old. Come on, amen. Jesus was going to fulfill the Old Testament. Come on, he was going to bring us into the new understanding, a new covenant with the Father. Amen. But he was following what the Father had before. He says, you go to the priest, you show yourself to them. Amen. But this guy said, he began to blab. He began to share. He couldn't keep quiet. When you meet with the Father, when you meet with Jesus, something happens. You can't keep silent. So, but he went out and began to proclaim it, and he spread the news of his healings to such an extent that Jesus could no longer openly go into the city where he was known. But he stayed out in the unpopulated places. Yet people were still coming to him from everywhere. See, when God does something, listen, this was before Twitter. This is before Facebook. I want you to know, think about this, listen to me. Do you understand that there's 100, I think there's 100,000 children born in China? Like a year or something, maybe more than that. I don't know what it is, or day. I don't know how many. I don't know what the numbers is on that, but it's stupid, huge. Come on. If you think about that, even if we tried to evangelize that many people, we'd never be able to do it. That it'd be too hard for us to do it the way that we're doing it right now. But if you went back to the protocol of the church when it began and how that they did it by multiplying, by discipling. They multiplied in 2 years. The whole entire city was saved. Within 2 months or whatever. But within 2 years, all of Asia was given the gospel of Christ. All of Asia, within 2 years. No Facebook, come on, no TV, no Twitter, no radio, no nothing. But by the power of God, that's how he did it. Come on, amen? That's what the church did. We've missed it. I meet people today, now, that don't understand what Jesus did for them. They don't understand that. They don't have that relationship. They don't know. You know why they don't have that relationship? Because people in church don't have a relationship with God. They're sharing about a God that they don't know that well. So if you don't know about something, what do? You don't say nothing. But if you're like this one guy where you've been touched, you've been moved by him, you can't keep your mouth shut. Amen? Come on, let's hear this. So he said, and it says, and Jesus returned to Capernaum, and a few days later, the news went out that he was at home, that he was at this place. So many people gathered together that were there, was no longer in the room. Listen, I want you to see this, because I've shared this before, but this really hit me. There was no longer room for them, not even near the door. There was no room for them. It says, and Jesus was discussing with them the word of God, then came bringing to him a paralyzed man. Listen, I want you to see this. This really is, I just was contemplating this scripture. He says that it was full to capacity. He's preaching the word, but nobody else could get in. And it just really dawned on me, I feel like that's the church. Filled with word, but not getting out, and no one can come in. Filled up with the word, but not going out. And not being able to let anything in. It's like the church has taken on this is our thing. You get part of this thing, you become in this club, and you get in this club, and it's our club. And I'm comfortable with just Beth here on Wednesday nights, or I'm just comfortable hanging out with you, or I'm just comfortable hanging out in this right here that I don't know if anybody else, boy, I really don't get along with that person, or they're really not like me. Listen, this is what Jesus is showing us right here. Here's this place, they're full of, they got the word, the word's right there, they have this right here, but yet there was no room for anybody else to come in. That's not what, we're not meant to be like that. We're not meant to be open. We're meant to receive the word and be able to fill it out. It pours in, it pours out. It pours in, it pours out. And they came unto him bringing a sick man of palsy. And I want you to know that there's a generation looking for God, and they're going to find him one way or another. Come on, amen. I believe there's a hunger that is coming upon people that are in the world, people that are looking for something. I believe that God is setting us up to disciple them. Come on, amen. I believe that God is not just a pastor to disciple them, but a church to bring them in. Come on, amen. To raise them up. And I want you to know that Jesus, or the apostles, dealt with this continually. They begin to speak to other ones. He says, one waters, the other one's plants, the other one begins to, what is he talking about? That's discipleship. It's putting time into somebody. Come on. It's investing. What are you investing? You're investing what you have, the word that you have. Well, I don't have time. Jesus is in, miracles can happen. It's limitless to what would happen that's within us, but yet we don't have time or have room because we're so busy with everything else. Am I making sense? But God's going to break that system. Since there's some people that are desperate to say, I need Jesus. I need what you got. God's going to put us in situations where that it's so desperate that people are pulling from us that guess what? We're going to say, man, I need to seek God because I got to give them an answer. I got to share with them all this stuff that I've already been downloaded. I've been sharing that week after week. I hear these messages. I stand and worship God and hear all these words and all this stuff. I got this so much in me that God's saying, listen, I'm going to put a demand on you that you release it, that you take hold of that, and it comes out of your life. Somebody's going to rip your roof off because they want to see Jesus. So I'm just going to take the roof off so no one has to rip it off. Come on, amen? I believe that there's something about that. I believe there's something. So it says they were so desperate that they could get there. They get to that place where that they could see Jesus. That we place so many things there. We put so much stuff that we don't have no room. We just have Jesus ourselves. Having Jesus, 2 Corinthians 4:1. Says this. Therefore, seeing that we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, that we don't stop. We don't stop giving, that we don't faint not, that we don't stumble, that we don't quit. We've received mercy. Don't forget you've received mercy. Don't forget that you've been saved. Don't forget you've been blessed. Don't forget what you have within you. Don't forget that He's in your house. Come on, amen. And anything can happen, amen. And He says, And he have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. That we're not to handle the word deceitfully. We're not to handle it that, okay, I want this, I don't want this, I want this, I don't want this. Come on, no. We need to take all the word, every bit of it, eat every part of it, say, you know what, I'm going to take it all. Man, some of this stuff might be, they ate it with bitter herbs too. Sometimes that word of God, sometimes it's bitter. Sometimes it causes us to feel uncomfortable because there's some things in us that need to be moved out of us. Amen. It says, but by manifestation of the truth, manifesting the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God, but being open to one another in church. Man, can we try that? Not to have to put a fake, not to come in, well, I'm just in a bad mood, I want to let you know that. No, that's flesh. But I'm talking about being a place, man, I need you to pray for me. I need you to lay hands on me. Give me strength. Ask the brethren. Go to one another. Open. Man, I have no clue what to do here. What should I do? I want you to know there's power in that. There's power in humility. Humbling ourselves before one another. Humbling ourselves in that place. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the images of God, should shine unto them. That's you. You're the image of God shining unto them. The image of God shining unto them. It says, for we are preached not ourselves, but Christ, Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Servants for Jesus' sake. I'm a servant for you, Lord. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, the excellency and the power may be of God and not of us. Listen. David had that heart that he said, that I will not rest till I find God a place. There was something within David. He had this, even before he knew that God's resting place was in Zion, was in his body. The power of God wanted to be released through his body, through Zion. And in the Bible, Zion speaks of the body, the church. Come on, say the church. Zion speaks of the church. And it's God revealing himself through his church. Come on, it's revealing himself, showing who he is through his church, through his body. That's the way God wants it. He wants to take an earthen vessel, that people that have been broken, and he says, I want you, I want to reveal myself, who I am, through you. Listen, I don't know if that doesn't humbly cause you to be humbled. It humbles me. I'm not going to do it any other way, but I'm going to do it through my body. Not just an individual. See, God will anoint people because sometimes we don't get it all together yet. So God will anoint somebody. But then all of what we do is we just put a claim on and say, yep, that's just the way it's supposed to be. No, we're all supposed to be anointed in that way. Realizing what we have in this earthen vessel. Realizing that we're the image of God to release it in the earth and into one another. Say, I'm here for you. I want you to know that, listen to me, my heart, I want all of us, the disciples, everybody, to be at a place where you have a word in your heart that I could say, Randy, man, here. I could just say, Sam, what's in your heart right now? Share what you got. I want you to know that we've been a place where we've stepped back and hidden. So I want you to know that I'm your pastor. You know why? Because I was in that place where I'm the guy that says, I'll be the guy to serve the guy. I never wanted to be the guy that's here. I wanted to be the guy that was back there. But you see, I want you to know, I'm saying it to say this, that my heart was always in a place where I had a word to give. I had something to give. See, so I want to share, have that with you, that you know that you have something to give. Everybody in this place has something to share. You have a word to teach. So maybe tonight, that maybe God wants you to share with the young people, or maybe God wants you to do this or do that, or to speak to those ones, to be that example. Set that tone for the young people. Walk in this place with expectation to say, man, God's here. Why? Because I'm here. That's not being arrogant. That's just knowing who's in you. He's in here. And I'm ready for somebody to rip the roof off. That they can touch the Heavenly Father. They can touch Him. They can experience Him. They can know Him. See, that's what God's, that's the heart of the Father. So I want to use you. The Bible says in Genesis 1:1, you want to understand, or Genesis, in Genesis 2, whatever it is, He says that I want you to multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, take have dominion. Wow. You. I've given you the authority in the earth. Nobody else. Come on, amen. It's yours. And when you step in my name, in my authority, the enemy has no power. Am I making sense? Listen, and it says, and when they were... Let me finish this. 5 minutes. Then they came bringing him in the paralyzed man who was being carried by 4 men. And when they were unable to get him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above Jesus. Listen, sometimes we need to get above things. I want you to know that we need to place Jesus, the priority, above things. Above the problems. Above the condition around us. He needs to be placed above it. It says that they went above. The problem was they couldn't get in the house. I want you to know that sometimes we look at the church and it is the problem, it has been the problem. But I want you to know we need to get above the problem. Quit blaming on it. Quit saying, oh, this is this, or this is why I'm not doing what I need to be, or this is why I'm not... No, no, no. Forget about it. You need to get above your problem. Come on, amen. We need to get above the problem, and we need to look at the church from a different angle. Wow. Oh, my goodness. This is awesome. Do you not know that the God that made the galaxies, that you stand back and you look at the Milky Way and you say, do you know what His favorite... the thing that He's more... impressed with or touched by is His glorious church. More than the Milky Way, more than the stars, more than all of His creation, it is His church that He's so proud of, that He said, I want to reveal my church. Everybody will be in awe of, wonder of. We need to get above the problem. And we need to have a heart to stand and say, no matter what, not give up early, but stand on it and say, no, no, no. We understand that we want to see it the way God sees it. Come on, amen. I want to see it the way God sees it. I'm going to persevere. I'm going to find an altar. I'm going to find a place where I submit my heart and I hear what God has to say. That I don't take some word, part of it, and listen to it. I need to take all the word and believe it and stand on it and say, you know what, God, I'm going to look at it from Your perspective. We're going to get into it in the weeks to come, but God had an order. It was Melchizedek order, and it was where the saints, come on, the saints, all the saints were ministers under God. It wasn't just the Aaron priesthood where God just settled for. You know why? Because they didn't. They stepped back and they said, no, no, You go forward. We're not willing to go there. We don't want to touch God. You touch God and tell us what it's like. Does that sound like the church? Aaron, you touch God and tell us what happened. That's not what I wanted, but I'm going to do it. There's an Aaron priesthood where there's just the priest. But the Melchizedek order, we're going to get into it more, but see, that order is different. That's what the church is to be like, the Melchizedek order. That was God's plan. That was His protocol for the church. And it says, and remove the roof, and it says, and when He had dug out an opening, they let down the mat on which the paralyzed man was laying. It says, and when Jesus saw their active faith, say active faith. Sometimes you got to cut through the mess to see Jesus. Sometimes you got to cut through all that other stuff that everybody has tried to place and layer upon it and say, you know what, I'm just going to cut through this stuff. I feel like that right now with our church. I believe that we're right there, that we're cutting through some of the roof. We're cutting through that place. What all the religious protocol, all this stuff was, well, you're supposed to do church with this. I've already got flack from pastors. There are even some people in our city, because I connect with Apostle Valentine, they don't even talk to me no more. He's went into some churches and they won't invite him back anymore. Because it's not the plan that the church is set up with right now. Whether you have a hierarchy, you have a different order. The pay scale is different. Don't Don't mess with someone's pay. Y'all get mad if someone messes with your check. I want you to know that I'm just saying this. I've never ever looked at this as my job. This is my calling. And I've always told people that I always know in my heart that I never felt that this would be my job. That wasn't the heart that I felt that God had for me and for the church. That it was something more than that. There was something more. That it was about a body. It was about a people coming together, submitting one to another. What's God saying to you? Listen. And when they were unable to get them because of the crowd, they removed the roof. And it says, and it's because they're acting, springing from confidence to Him. Springing from confidence in Him. He said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." But some of the scribes, this is where we are at the church, some of the scribes, some of the religious people were sitting there debating in their hearts. They debate within their hearts. They debate within their hearts. He says, the implication, what he said, why does this man talk that way? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins, remove guilt, nullify sins, penalty, assign righteousness, except God alone? And immediately Jesus, being full aware of their hostility, and knowing in the spirit that they were thinking this, said to them, "Why are you debating and arguing about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, the paralyzed man, your sins be forgiven, or say, pick up your bed and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man," he used that specifically to declare that he was the Messiah. If you're mistaken, I am the Messiah. That I want you to know that statement right there slapped those religious people right in the face. I am the Messiah. I'm the one you've been looking for and you're rejecting. Listen, I do not want to reject God's plan just because it's not comfortable with my plan. It's not what my grandma did. It's not the way my parents did. Listen, I want you to know, and I'm not bashing the church. What I'm saying is they've done what they knew to do or what they were at the place where they could do. Listen, and I thank God for heritage. I thank God for that, for where we came from. Listen, I want you to get that. I thank God for all that stuff. But I want you to know that we have to be a place where Jesus, when He steps in the midst and reveals Himself, we cannot say, "Well, that's not what I'm looking for." Yeah. What's that? It was a foundation. It was part of it. But I want you to know that it has to be with what He says. It has to be with what He's given to us. Okay. Somebody opened up the roof. Let me finish real quick before He poops on us. And He said, got up immediately and picked up his mat. And He says, and he went off. Where's he at? Are you okay for a second? Can you look at me? Don't you pay attention. Matt, pay attention. Or Sam, pay attention of him. Find out. Keep your eye on him. And everybody else, watch me. For I'm going to finish this, all right? I'm going to finish this. It says, I just want to finish this part. He says, and passing by, he's seen Matthew. You remember Matthew in the Bible? Jesus asked him, he says, he's sitting as a tax collector in a booth, and he said, "Follow me." He just spoke the words. Here's all these ones that rejected him, but here's this one who was a tax collector. He was different. He heard his voice. There was an authority with him, and he got up where he was, and he moved. I want you to know that we, no matter where we're at, we need to be willing to move when God says something. We can't just establish something and say, this is the way we've done it for 100 years. Do you know the church that has been here? It was here for 150 years. It's not here no more. They weren't willing to move with what God's saying. I'm not bashing, I'm just saying it's the truth. They weren't willing to move with God. Don't be afraid. Woo! It's kind of entertaining, I'll be honest with you. This is the way you get people out of church, right? Listen, all right. This is, and Pharisees saw Jesus eating with these sinners, tax collectors. And they asked the disciples, why does he eat with these ones? Why is he eating with these tax collectors? And he says, who are those that need? Listen, here's the key I want you to see. Those who are healthy. Ready for this? Those who are healthy. All right, he's laying down. Listen, Those who are healthy, listen to this last statement. Ready? Listen, come on, look at me. Those who are healthy have no need of a physician. But those that are sick, I did not come to call the righteous but sinners. Listen, do you know that Jesus had a loaded question right there? Because listen, if they thought to themselves that they were righteous, they were wrong. Because all of us need a physician, and that physician is Jesus Christ. We need that. And when we say to ourselves, we got it all figured out, our church is, this is what we were perfect, we got it all figured out, we're wrong. We're missing it. Where'd he go? Is he all right?
Laying eggs? Oh.
Amen. All right, is that okay? Listen, we're going to, we got some things in our hearts, and I want you to come with me. And listen, I know that Apostle said something. He says that you get half the church converted in discipleship, following in discipleship. The other half will follow immediately. And what seemed like work before will become easy, rest. We've heard that message for so long, but we haven't found it. And the only way it really is in Jesus. And there's a joy to come to that place. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. I pray to God, Lord, that you kill this bat. In Jesus' name. Amen.